I want to talk to you today about our heritage. And as you think about heritage, many times you think about in a sense of a country. You know, we can look back 200 some years to 4th of July, and we can think of our heritage. That's our heritage. We can look back over the years and the heritage of those that that have fought for our freedom, that have done things to allow us to be where we are. And we all have an individual heritage also. We all came from our parents, and our parents from our grandparents, and so on and so forth. And many people have taken the time and the money to compile a pretty extensive family tree, trying to figure out where they came from, trying to figure out their heritage. People like to know where they're from. They like to know their heritage. They want to know, some like to find out whether or not they're closely related to any famous people or someone that was very, influential in human history. I don't know of any famous furries myself. There might be someone out there. I know my wife's side of the family, they've got a couple ties to fame. They can trace it back to Abraham Lincoln, Nancy Hanks there. And so you got a little tie in there. And then there's also a certain actor out there with the same last name Hanks, who also ties his heritage back to the Nancy Hanks with the Abraham Lincoln. And so I got a couple ties there, but we like to find those things out. We like to see where do we come from? What is it? Now, most people would not like to admit this, or would say this is not true. But if it were possible to trace everybody's family tree all the way back, we'd end up all coming back to the same point. We'd all come back to Adam and Eve. That's, you know, if our family trees would end up going all the way back. We have that common heritage. And our heritage means something. Because I am the son of my parents, I have certain traits. My parents are white, and therefore I am white. My father is tall, and therefore I am tall. There can be certain advantages and disadvantages to one's heritage. Someone could be born into a family of wealth, and they would have that advantage. Some would be born into a family that was abusive, and they'd have that disadvantage. Our heritage can mean a lot for us in our life. Now, as we look at our American heritage, we have something because we are Americans. We have freedoms. And we can look back, and in a certain way, we can have a certain amount of pride. We can look back at the men and women that worked and fought for our freedom. We can look back at the foundation on which this country was built. And we can look back with a certain amount of pride. But our American heritage, there has been a sullying of it. We have allowed things and sanctioned things in our country that are evil and not a part of God's plan. And our country is redefining things that God has given to us. And therefore our heritage, and I don't look back and say, well, all of our forefathers were independent fundamental Baptists, okay? I'm not gonna say that. I'm not even gonna say that all of our forefathers were Christian. Okay? But as we look back and we look at our forefathers, they recognized something. They did recognize the Bible. They did recognize Christian morals. And they did build our country on those morals and on those things. And that has not been held up. Many churches today are recognizing, and it's on the front of your bulletin, it doesn't say it, but you can kind of see the point there. Many churches are recognizing the Sanctity of Life Sunday, as this is a Sunday that's set aside. It has been since 84, I believe, when Ronald Reagan instituted this. The Sunday that is closest to the anniversary of Roe versus Wade decision in 1973, when we as a country decided that an unborn baby's life was not worthwhile, was not as important as other things. And since then, millions upon millions of babies have been legally sanctioned by America to be murdered. And that is a dark blemish on our American heritage. You look back at that and you say, that is such a sad thing when we can look at a certain Christian heritage in our country, a Christian country at least built on Christian principles, to look back and see how our heritage is being sullied and blemished in that way. And that brings us to our discussion this morning of our heritage as humans. And we're going to be in the book of Romans. Now, over the last couple weeks, we've been in Romans 5, and we've looked in the first 11 verses, and we've been looking at the benefits of justification. And what we find here in the book of Romans, here in this passage, we find a very important passage. A passage that bridges between two discussions. In the previous chapters, in chapters 3 and through 5 here, Paul has been talking about justification by faith. And that's what we were talking about the last couple weeks when we talked about the benefits of justification. That justification by faith, what are some of the benefits of it? And we looked at some wonderful benefits, not only just being justified, but some outside benefits to it. But then after this, in chapters 6 through 8, we find another discussion about sanctification by faith. Justification is that counting of us righteous, where because we trust in Christ by faith, we are justified. We are considered righteous because of Jesus Christ, because of His righteousness. And what we find here in this discussion that we're going to look at this morning is a discussion of how we can be justified. What does this mean? And then in the following discussion in chapters 6 through 8, we find a discussion on sanctification by faith. Justification is God saying, you are justified. You are righteous because of Christ. Sanctification is a growth. It is a growth in our faith. It's a growth in Christ. It is growing to be more Christ-like. So as we are justified, we are considered righteous. But we are not righteous yet. We are still in our sinful bodies. We still have those sinful bents. But then sanctification is that growth as we grow in our Christian faith, where we become more and more sanctified, more and more like Christ, hopefully, if we are growing the way that we should. And so here in this passage that we're looking at this morning, in verses 12 through 21, we find a discussion that bridges the two gaps, or bridges the two discussions. It consummates the first discussion, kind of describing how we actually can be justified by faith. And then it introduces and begins the second discussion of how we can grow by faith. And this is a very deep passage. As you read through it, you might get a little lost. You might get a little overwhelmed by what you're reading. Now, we're not going to go through it in a... I don't know how I should say this, but if we were to really dive into this and go verse by verse and really try to get out every little morsel, we'd be in here for a while. Okay, now we'd be in here for weeks, and we're not going to do that. We're going to try and get through this in the time that we have today. And so there are only two heritages that are discussed in here. And we all have to have a heritage. We all have to come from somewhere. And therefore, we have to be a part of one of these heritages. There's no middle ground. We're either part of one or part of the other. And so let's read, I'll read once again these verses, follow along, and then we'll have a word of prayer and we'll begin. It says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's bow in prayer as we begin. Lord, we come to you humbly and looking into your scripture. Lord, we thank you for the gift of justification. Lord, we thank you that we can know today, because of our faith in Jesus Christ, that we are justified, that we stand before you redeemed. And Lord, I pray as we look here this morning that we would look at these heritages, that we can have. And Lord, I pray that we would see what we need in that heritage, Lord, and how we can uphold that heritage and not let it be sullied and marred as we look at that this morning. And I pray that you would guide us through your word, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So there's two heritages discussed here. One of them is the heritage of Adam, and the other one is the heritage of Christ. Every single person that is born into this world outside of Christ is born into the heritage of Adam. We are in the lineage of Adam, as I said earlier. If we were able to trace our family trees all the way back, we would end up coming all the way back to Adam. He is in our line. He is our, if you want to call it, our seminal head. He is who we look to. At the very beginning of humanity is Adam. But he's not only that, he is a federal head. And now, this is getting into a little more deep discussion. We'll try and decipher what it means here. But look in verse 12. It says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned," or all sinned. Adam was not the first one to sin, not the first being to sin, okay? The first person, or the first being to sin was the devil, was Satan. He was the one that came up with sin. He was the one that said, you know what, I can be just like God. You know what, I can be greater. I'm this wonderful angel. I am going to be better than God. And that pride and that rebellious spirit was in him. And he, if you want to say, invented sin. He came up with sin. And so sin originated with Lucifer, with Satan. But when we come to this, so Adam wasn't the first being to sin, he was the first human to sin. And so when we look at humanity and the fact that we are sinners, it entered the human race through Adam. And sin was brought into the world and brought into our human race through Adam, because of Adam. Anybody that is born guilty of the sin of Adam. Now, Adam's sin was imputed to us. It was given to us. That the phrase there where it says all have sinned, that's the point of that. It's all sinned. All sinned in that one man. In Adam, we all sin. Now, that is I'm not claiming to understand federal headship to my best ability. That is a hard discussion. It's not easy to understand. And we don't have a lot of examples of what this is. You don't have to turn there, but in Hebrews 7, we have a discussion kind of about this. It says here, "And as I may say so, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him." So here's a picture of, it says here, Levi, who was not born yet, who was still in the future, he paid tithes while he was in Abraham. Now, how do you explain that? I don't really know. If you have a better way of explaining, or a good way of explaining it, let me know. No one would claim that Levi consciously or purposefully paid tithes to Melchizedek, yet God declares that he did pay tithes. Likewise, none will claim that each individual in Adam's race consciously or purposefully sinned in Adam. Yet there can be no doubt that God reckons that each member of the race sinned Adam's transgression. I don't know exactly how to explain that, but it's there. This is what is called imputation. We have been given, or it has been counted towards our account. Adam's sins have been ascribed or reckoned or imputed into our lives. And so what is the result of that? What is the result of this sin? What does it say there in verse 12? It says, and all have sinned, so what? Death passed upon all men, so that all have sinned. The result is a reign. Is a reign, R-E-I-G-N. Death reigns by sin. Look in verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Now you might say, okay, I'm going to get into a little thought experiment here. Okay, sin or death is the result of sin. Okay? Sin is missing the mark. Okay? You have a mark set here. Sin is you not making that mark. Okay? In the Garden of Eden, God gave Adam and Eve a mark, said, do not eat of this one fruit. That's all I'm asking you. You have one rule. Do not eat of this fruit. And what did they do? They rebelled and they ate of the fruit. That was sin. Okay? Now we don't have any type of law until the law comes. And this is what it's all talking about here, is that death reigned from Adam to Moses. Moses was the one that received the law. Okay, the law was pointing out this is what God expects. Okay, this is God's perfection right here is the law. This is what you have to get to, okay? So before that, there was no, if you want to say, rules. They didn't have the rules that we have of the law. They didn't have the Word of God like we have today. But still, death reigned, even though people were not, if you want to say it this way, missing the mark. Because there was no mark there. There was nothing that they were, you know, there was no law there. But they were still dying. Why? Because they were guilty of that sin. They were guilty of the sin of Adam. Once again, it's hard to explain. But what it comes down to, though, is that because of this sin, death reigns through sin. Verse 17, for if by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance. And then continue on in verse 21, that as sin hath reigned unto death. So, sin brings a reign. The heritage of Adam brings a reign because we are humans. Because we are born. Because we come from the lineage of Adam. We are born sinful. And that is why we can die. That is why this happens. Because of our heritage, death reigns through sin. And every day we all struggle with sin. And we all have to deal with that every day, no matter if we're saved or not. We have to deal with sin because of our heritage, because we come from Adam. Now some might say, well, this is just not fair. I wasn't there. So many thousands of years ago, I wasn't there in the garden. I could have obeyed that rule if it were me. No, you couldn't have, okay? Let's just say, no, you couldn't have, okay? You might say, well, there's just too many rules in the Bible. You know what? Humanity is humanity. And you can look back to the garden, and humanity, even in perfect innocence, with no sin, with no history of sin, humanity still rebelled against God with one rule. It's all they had to follow. One rule. And no history of sin, complete innocence, and they still rebelled. We would rebel. Don't think that it is unfair. Because you might say, I shouldn't be held accountable for the sin of another person. But that argument gets thrown right out the window when we look at the only other heritage there is. We have our heritage in Adam. We're all sinners. We all come from Adam. But there's another heritage, the heritage of Christ. Every single person that accepts Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they have a new heritage, and that is the heritage of Christ. We have partaken in the new birth, and therefore we are born into a new family, and therefore we have a new heritage. Look in verse number 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men. Once again, the one talking about Adam to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification. We have a godly heritage when we are saved. When we trust in Christ, our heritage, we have a new heritage. And we talked about the sin of Adam being imputed to us, reckoned to us, and thinking, man, that seems a little unfair. But when we're saved, Christ's righteousness is imputed to us. It's given to us. You might say the same thing. That doesn't sound like fair. He's the only one that was righteous. He's the only one that was sinless. He's the one that paid for it. Why should I be allowed to partake in this too? You know, as you see here in this passage here, you don't find we. You know, it doesn't say we did this. We had righteousness. We had this. No, it's all talking about one. It's talking about Christ. And the same thing with Adam. It's talking about Adam. And it's talking about Christ. It's talking about two heritages. That's it. Adam and Christ. And when we trust in Christ, we have a new heritage. And that's the heritage of Christ. This is a definite emphasis on the fact that these two heritages are based on one, based on one person each, first being Adam, the second being Christ. We don't deserve this righteousness. We didn't do anything to earn it. But Christ still imputes it to us, still gives it to us when we are saved and makes us justified. That is how justification works. You know, you might say, that's his whole discussion here before this was justification is by faith. Justification is by faith. And here is a description of how exactly that works. How can we be justified? It's because we as one sinned in Adam. And we as one trusting in Christ receive the righteousness of Christ in us. We are justified. Now, when we talked about the first heritage, the heritage of Adam, we received something. We received the heritage and we received a reign of death through sin. This was a reign in everyone's life. Everyone born is under the reign of sin and death. And that's the way it goes until we are born of born in this new heritage. And there is another result. It is a resulting of another reign. We find that in verse 21. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ, our Lord. The results are completely opposite. Instead of a life of sin and death, this heritage provides a life full of righteousness, grace, and life. And it's the passage is quite interesting when you look at the way it compares and pits grace against sin. They're put against each other in many of these verses. In verse 15, it says, "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. The offense of one, many be dead. The grace of God and the gift by grace hath abounded unto many." Verse 17, one man's offense, death reigned by one. Much more they which received abundance of grace. Verse 20, moreover the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. In verse 21, that as sin hath reigned, grace reigned through righteousness. I love verse 20 because the words are actually, as you look here, it says, moreover the law entered that the offense might abound or that it might multiply. But where sin abounded, grace, if you want to use a super literal term there, superabounded. That's the super literal term there. Grace did superabound. And when sin is there, and so as we look at our heritages, and as we look at these things, I talked at the beginning about the two topics of discussion surrounding this passage in the book of Romans. I said that the first topic was the topic of justification by faith. Well, what does this say here? We are justified because we have this new heritage. But then the next section deals with sanctification by faith. And this passage talks about being in the heritage of Adam, having death and sin reign over them. They are defeated. But in the reign of Christ, grace reigns through righteousness. No longer do we have to have sin reigning over us. And that 17th verse just describes it perfectly, where if one man sin, for by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more which they would receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. And so as I look at this, You know, many times we look at grace and we say, well, I can do that because I'm under grace. Don't you know I'm a Christian and I'm under grace? We're no longer under the law, so therefore I can do whatever I want to do. I have freedom, I have grace to do all of these things that are questionable or whatever you might want to say. And they say, oh yes, you know, it's not the same as with the law. But they're looking at grace the wrong way. Grace doesn't allow sin to reign in us. Grace allows life to reign in us and grace to reign in us. You know, we looked at the beginning, the picture of America. You know, here as we recognize the sanctity of life Sunday, and we think about not only with the issue of abortion, and not only what happened in 1973, but you know, we can look at the number of things that have happened in our country recently and over the last decades and years, that we can look back and we can see a lot of decisions that have been made by people in control of things and in authority over things, and we could say that is just wrong. Our country is going off the track. They're not staying on the track that they should be on. And we say, oh, that's a blemish. That is a blemish to our heritage. We can't look back the same way that we could at one time and say, oh, I'm proud to be American. I'm proud to have this heritage. We look back and say, oh, there's a blemish. There's a stain on our heritage that I don't want to see there. But think about Christians. Think about a Christian living their life. Here they are, living under the reign of grace. Living under a reign of grace towards life. And here they are in a new heritage, born in a new lineage, if you want to say it that way. And here they are, under grace, able to live for God. And yet, they continue to allow sin to reign over them. They continue to allow things into their life saying, oh, it's grace. I can do it. It's grace. But what they're doing is they're just allowing sin to reign over them. They're bringing sin in and saying, you know what? I'm going to allow it to sit there. Even though I shouldn't be under it, even though it has no control over me, I'm going to put it under it. We're in the same way. We're sullying. We're putting blemishes on our heritage. Our heritage is of one of through Christ, the one that we had faith in, the one that allows us to reign, that allows grace to reign in our life. You know, there may be some out here this morning that are still under that original Adamic heritage, where there they are. Maybe you're out here today under the reign of sin and under the reign of death because you don't have this new heritage. Well, here's the new heritage. Here it is offered to you. It was, as it says here, the free gift came upon all men unto justification. This free gift is not just for some. It's for you. It's for everyone. This free gift is offered to all so that all can come to justification. And so don't let a day pass by with living under the same old heritage, that old Adamic heritage. That heritage gives you nothing. There is a free offer of a new heritage. And those of us that are under this new heritage, under this new and this glorious heritage, what are we doing to, if you want to say, uphold our heritage? What are we doing to lift it up and to keep it unsullied? Are we living by grace in the right way to live by grace? Saying, I'm under grace, that means I can do more for Christ. I'm living under grace, therefore I can be more productive for God. Or are we living under grace in a different way, saying, you know what, I'm going to live under grace by living under sin? That's not the way to do it. You know, our American heritage is great, and I love the freedom that we have here, but our heritage in Christ is so much better. It gives us so many freedoms, and the freedoms that we have through that heritage are so much better than the freedoms that we have here in America. These freedoms in America can, you know what, we could lose them someday. You know, perish the thought, but it could happen someday. And who knows what's going to happen in the future. Those could be gone. The freedoms that we have in Christ, they're not going to leave. They're not going to disappear. We always have them because of the grace of God in our life. So let's uphold our heritage. Let's not let our heritage be sullied like we've seen so much in our American heritage be sullied. And let's live a life by grace. Let's pray.